days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. Verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Verse 8. And in the same region there was shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. Verse 18. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And finally, verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Amen.
Amen.
Very familiar portion of scripture. Some of you may have even read this this past week. Maybe your family were together. But I'd like for us to spend just a few minutes talking about it, and I'd like to talk to you from this subject. Good news of great joy. All right? Good news of great joy. I always like to try to take a text and then kind of break it down into bite size, you know? You remember how when we, you probably don't remember when you were a baby, but those of us who have children and fed babies, you know how you have to do that, right? You can't, you just can't take a whole piece of something, you know, even if it's bread. You have to get it to where they can eat it, right? You get it in the bite size. Now, you want them to consume it, but you have to get it in a condition where they can take it, all right? So that's what I like to do when I preach it. I like to take a text and break it down so that we can get some sense of a handle on it. So when you leave here, you can take something with you, all right? So this is the way we're going to look at this. The first thing I see is that God deals with unlikely people and events on earth. Unlikely people, and he uses unlikely events on earth. The next thing we're going to see is that God also surprises you at times with unexpected visitors from heaven. God not only deals on earth, God is in heaven, and he's working out great. See, right now, there's a whole world around us that we can't see.
Amen.
A whole world of activity going on right now we can't see.
Amen.
This is tremendous for the Christian. Mm-hmm. You see, that we got angels around us taking care of us. And then finally, we're going to look at what I call unplanned obedience from the heart. Mm. So, let's start. We want to begin by thinking about this. God is the source of joy. All right? And even if you're not a Christian, you need to know this today. And some of us got some nice things yesterday. Or you might have got your nice thing before yesterday. But the thing is that everybody knows here that whatever you got that was nice yesterday ain't going to last. Right? I mean, it may be nice for a week, it may be nice for months. But eventually, the joy associated with it is going to fade. Right? Real joy is from the Lord. Right? And it lasts. When other things are fading, that joy lasts, right? You know how Paul said in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, right? Gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. It comes from, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And remember how Nehemiah said it? The joy of the what? Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So joy comes from God himself.
Amen.
Matter of fact, the psalmist, I think it's Psalm 16:11, said that there's joy in God's presence, right? And the fullness of joy in the presence of God. Joy also is found in God's name. I just kind of looked this up. Found in God's works and in his word. Now, the Bible also teaches that joy comes from salvation. You remember when David had sinned? Psalm 51, right? He lost his joy. What did he say? Restore to me what? The joy of your salvation. And if you say, you know, there's nothing like it. There was nothing like it the day you know your sins were forgiven.
Amen.
Right? People could talk about you. They said it wasn't for real, but you knew you were set free.
Amen.
Can't mess with that joy. Mm. It's from the Lord. You didn't give it to me. You can't take it back.
Right.
I'm not looking for you to affirm it for me.
Okay.
You can't declare me saved or unsaved.
Amen.
God's already done it. See? That's joy.
Amen.
That's real joy. The joy of salvation. Forgiveness. Psalm 51. David talked about how miserable it was when he really had sinned against God. You know what it is? That weight, the sin, that guilt keeps it. It's like it chokes out joy because you know you're not right with God. And so he talked about how wonderful it was to have that forgiveness and the joy restored. Some of you young people, Proverbs 5 says that there's joy in your spouse. You know that? Yeah. You're supposed to have joy in your spouse, in the one that God gives to you. Right. Didn't I always say you can always be happy? Totally different. But see, God brings people together to make them complete. And there's real joy when you accept this is a gift from God. When you accept that this is God's gracious gift to me, I can find real joy in it.
Amen.
Amen. And you stop comparing yourself to somebody else.
That's right. Say it fast.
Right? It's like having your vehicle. You can't enjoy your vehicle because you're always comparing it to this one over here. Right? I mean, your vehicle is fine. Matter of fact, the one you're looking at, it may look good on the outside. I know about that. I bought one like that before. It looked wonderful on the outside. It was a piece of junk. You look at tinted windows, big things, the tires. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Had to shout all the time.
Oh,
and so you find joy with what God has given you, and not looking at what somebody else has. Now, the birth of Jesus, though, is described as good news of great joy. See, I just talked to you about joy. The Bible says the birth of Jesus is good news of great joy.
Mm-hmm.
There is no joy like this joy. There's no joy like Jesus. It's great joy. It's unlike anything else in life. You can't talk about a cow, or a car, or a spouse, or a house, or clothes. It has nothing to do with this kind of joy, you see? And so, what I want us to look at for a little bit today And somebody would have to kind of keep me on the track. I'm up for everything. What time is it?
11:45.
All right. I want to spend a little time looking at how God brings good news of great joy. All right? And that's what I'm saying. This is how he brings good news of great joy. Okay? First of all, he uses unlikely people and unlikely events to bring good news of great joy. All right? Let's look at this. You got your Bible? In chapter 2, the first three verses, you find that God uses unbelievers with great authority. And you need to think about this now in our present day and time. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now, this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor over Syria. All went to be registered, each to his own town. If you're not familiar with your Bible, Romans 13 teaches that the government is good for us. Right. It really is irrelevant who's in office. That's not the issue. No. The government is from God, and it's given to bring about order. All right? Without government, there is chaos. Government really is given to provide order, to protect the innocent, and to punish the guilty. Okay? Government is from God for our good. And here's what I want you to remember. Government officials may not believe what we believe. So you see, the government doesn't have to be Christian. Government officials may actually be opposed to what you believe. But God still works in spite of it. Caesar cared nothing about God. But God was using Caesar. See, he uses unlikely people to carry out his great plan.
Amen.
Okay? So don't you get overly concerned about who's president, or who's in the Senate, or who's in the Congress, or who won mayor, or who won governor. You just understand that God is above all that. Right? Amen?
Amen.
And we have to submit, that's what Romans 13 says, submit to the governing authorities that are over you. Why? Because God is using, he uses the most unlikely people. And in this case, to bring about the greatest news that the world and the greatest joy that the world has ever known. All right? Secondly, God expects us to obey. And you see that in verses 4 and 5. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary his betrothed, who was with child. God expects us to obey, even if we don't agree. Okay? This is very important. You see, Joseph and Mary didn't have a vote. Caesar didn't say, hey, Joseph, Mary, y'all want to come and be registered? No. This was a decree. It went out. And they obeyed. And God says to you and me, that as long as this government isn't requiring you to disobey God, do what they say.
Amen.
Because God is working. He's working, okay? He's working. Even if you don't understand it, God is still working. He's still working it out. The last thing I want you to notice is in verses 6 and 7, obedience may be great sacrifices sometimes. You see, when you obey, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. You see that in verse 6? And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. I'm sure everybody here wants to be blessed, right? Everybody wants a blessing, right? Everybody wants a blessing. But the pathway to blessing isn't always pleasant or comfortable. Okay. You see, when you follow Jesus, Jesus didn't have an easy path. But he knew he was right in the middle of God's will.
Amen.
Now, if you follow me, you can't expect life to be easy. Right? But it's still a path of blessing. And so the obedience may mean great sacrifice. Look at Joseph and Mary. Who would anybody in here, whether you are the woman that's pregnant or the spouse of the woman that's pregnant, which one of us would ever think of uprooting and while you right near delivery and take? Now, see, then you can't think about going out and starting up your car and warming it up and jumping in. No. You know, think of your wife, or if you are the woman, you think of crawling on a donkey or a walking, you know, for miles, simply because, in our case, some governor or some high official said, you got to go here, you got to go to Jeff City, you got to go to Springfield, you got to do this, you got to jump out there and walk or ride a donkey. And he's saying, this is unfair. This doesn't even make sense. I need to be in a hospital. I need to be in bed. But they obey. And their obedience is with God's pathway to bring this great, this good news, this great joy. The same applies to you and me. Now, what I just described to you was bad enough. But then they got there. They got there, and the town's full. And you think, all the sacrifice I made to get here, and I get here, and there is no hotel. Not just no hotel. There's nobody that will let me stay at their house. And I'm obeying God. So you see? You think I'm obeying God. It ought to work out somewhere along the way. I mean, it was bad enough getting here. But I get here and it still doesn't work out. You get here and you wind up having to find some comfort with animals. Or whether they were animals or not, there was the only place left was the stable, right? And then not only that, you see, the labor pains come just about the same. This is the wrong time. I ain't even at home. This is the wrong time for labor pains. I can't even get to a bed. For God's, this is God's plan. Maybe you have to deliver your baby. Stick your baby in an animal's trunk. You don't even have adequate clothing. So you have to wrap him up in these little bandages. That's what these swaddling cloths were, like strips of bandages. Wrap up the newborn. Obedience may be a great sacrifice. But you see what I'm saying? God uses unlikely people and unlikely events to bring about the dream. And you may be the one he's using right now. You don't even know. You're just complaining because it's so hard. Now, the Bible doesn't say, but I'm sure that they weren't just happy-go-lucky. Well, this is going on. This is hard. This is hard. This is difficult. This is a challenge. All right? Keep that in mind. The next thing we notice is that there are unexpected visitors from heaven. Mary's given birth, and then we read in verse 8. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Now, what I'm saying here is that the gospel message is sent to unusual places at times. Not only that, it's sent to unusual people. Here's what I'm talking about. You got a bunch of shepherds here working the night shift, all right? And so the night shift is quiet, right? Now you think that the night shift is quiet for us. It's really quiet for the shepherds, you see. Sheep asleep, all you're doing is you're trying to stay awake yourself, you see, to make sure that there's no predators and that kind of thing, all right? So you got these shepherds working the night shift, and these are average men,
working an average job. Okay? Unusual people. Not only that, they weren't at church. They weren't even at prayer meeting. They weren't even having the prayer meeting at their house. They were at work. Alright? This is an unusual place for God to show up. Now I want you to just listen to me. You don't have to turn here. You can make note of this. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And this is very important. Paul makes note of this same thing when he wrote to the Corinthians. You see, God doesn't come to mighty, wealthy, powerful people. I'm not saying he doesn't at all. It's just that God isn't like you and me. He doesn't go to the ones that you think would be the best one for the job. You see? God doesn't look on what? The outward appearance. What does he do? God looks at the heart.
Amen.
So he saw these men working this night shift had the right heart for this. They may not have the money and the power and the position, but they got what God needs, and that's the right heart.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Paul says, 1 Corinthians 1:26, for consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Aren't you glad about that?
Yes.
How I got in. And as I look around, that's how you got in too. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low. Now, did you see these shepherds? He chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in his own presence. God chose the men. He know when they'll go around and brag about who they are. God didn't come to them because of who they are or where they worked. Right? Or because of what school they graduated from. You see, God knows how to find humble people. And I'm not saying wealthy people are not humble or can't be humble. You know that. Abraham was the wealthiest man in the whole area at that time, in the whole country. That's not the issue. But don't write yourself off just because you don't have what this world accredits to being high society,
mm-hmm.
or high in society. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Here's what I want you to know. God can intervene anytime, anywhere, with anybody. Isn't that good? Anytime, anywhere, with anybody. The gospel can reach people on their job. You don't have to say, I've got to get this person to church with me. Why do we think that way? God can reach them right there on the assembly line. God can reach them right there working on that lawn. Or right there at their desk. They can be working on any kind of job. Right there, they can be the CEO of a company. God can reach them right there. He can reach your friends at school. Yeah, see, they don't have to be in church with you. Just take the gospel. God can get to anybody, anywhere, anytime. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Don't give up. Don't give up because it hadn't worked out the way you thought it should. Don't give up because they didn't come to Jesus when you brought them to church. Don't give up because they didn't come when it was time, when the preacher gave the invitation. And they just sat there. Don't give up. The gospel is powerful. And it can reach people in unusual places, unusual times. Never mind. I also want you to notice that the gospel message is greater than people expect. You got verse 10? The angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. That will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God.
and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. People had been waiting for a Savior for hundreds of years. Okay? Now, I really don't know. For us, it's probably hard for any of us to relate to this, really. Probably the most likely thing, and even our generation can't relate to this, but probably more, the most comparable thing for our ethnic group would be when black people are waiting for emancipation, are waiting for some form of freedom. Okay? And so one generation would live and die, and things would stay the same. Next generation would live and die, and things would stay the same. That's the idea here. They've been waiting for a Savior. See, they've been under the oppressor. They've been under the, from one government to another, they've been under the oppressor for so long. But now they've been waiting for hundreds of years. And what do the angels say? Your wait's over. Notice how the verse said, unto you this day. You see? It's right now. Shepherds. See, and the thing is, he wants these shepherds right here, right now, to know that right now, the day it has happened. Amen. You've been set free. Other people have been waiting and waiting and waiting. But I'm coming to tell, and this, think about it, I'm coming to tell you first. There are folks that are free and they don't even know it, but I came to tell you first. Isn't that good?
Amen.
God does that for people. He's going to do it for you.
Amen.
If you believe.
Amen.
If you believe. You see? If you believe it. And so, this day has come. The day of your salvation has come. The Savior has come to save sinners. And the shepherds, I came to bring you the good news. You're the first to get it. Isn't that good? You're the first ones to get the good news. Who would have ever thought it? Working the night shift with nobody around. God shows up to tell me. The world doesn't know this. Y'all are the only ones that know this. The Savior has been born. This is good. This
Amen.
Is wonderful.
Amen.
This is God. This is the way God works.
Amen.
You see, people can save your life, but only God can save your soul.
Amen.
You see, there have been other folks who have helped the Jews, right? They've helped them. They've given them food, given them money, but only you, only God can save your soul. That's what they've been waiting for, their sins to be forgiven. And so, this good news, listen to this sentence. I hope you can get this. This good news is for all who hear it from their heart. And it brings great joy if you'll believe it in your heart. Okay? Now, you're sitting here today, and if you only hear it with your ears, it ain't on your ears. But if you hear it with your heart, and your heart leap for joy to think that Jesus, and it's hard to kind of lay hold of this, but in your mind's eye, you can kind of visualize several centuries ago, these shepherds that went to work just like they would any other day. And they were just here working, tending these sheep, and God brought the most important message that had been told to man up to that time. This is tremendous. And so if you can hear it and it causes your heart to leap with joy, and if you can believe it, then you will know the same joy that they did. Right? We weren't there, but I sensed the same joy as if I was. This is tremendous truth for you and me. Unexpected visitors from heaven. And then the last thing that I want us to think about as we try to wrap up is that we see this unplanned obedience from the heart. That's what I call it. Now, this is important. I'm not saying that other things I've said haven't been important, but I really want you to pay attention. The first thing I note here is discerning from God when the Lord is speaking. Being able to discern when the Lord speaks.
Amen.
And you notice, now I want you to look at this. Look at verse 15. It says, when the angels went away from them. Now this is, first of all, this is phenomenal, right? You were minding your own business, working. Mm-hmm. And then, and I mean, think about it. You're sitting there minding your own business. All of a sudden, the sky lights up. Mm-hmm. This is night. Mm-hmm. Black night time. Now, by the way, you know, they didn't have street lights. Okay? So you can't think like we do. You know, they didn't have street lights. It's dark. And the sky lights up. And then you got these angels that come, and they're talking. Okay? This is amazing to begin with, right? Mm-hmm. Now, when it's over, now you imagine yourself sitting there. When it's over, it says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, then the shepherds started talking to one another. Right? And I don't know what I would have said or what you would have said, but it's amazing to see what they said, isn't it? The shepherds said to one another, let's go. Now, you think about that. They didn't say, what do you think about that, man? Hey man, we need to go. You know, did you realize when we heard, we need to, isn't this amazing? You see? Now if God had come to a scholar, he comes to some intellectual, what do you think they're gonna do?
Yeah, think about it.
Yeah. I wonder if that was real. I wonder if that was someone. But see, God knew he was dealing with. When they got done. When he got done, they said, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened. They didn't even question it, did they? Now, wait a minute. Look at the last phrase. That's what I want you to see. You looking at the last phrase? Yeah. What's the last phrase say?
Which the Lord has made known to us.
Amen. You got it? They discerned that this was who? The Lord speaking. Mm-hmm. It might have come from the lips of angels, but we know who was saying.
Amen.
Got it?
Amen.
You need to be thinking. You need to be thinking. Now that's the shepherds. What about you? Can you determine when God is speaking to you? You ever had this happen? You know, you're watching a movie, and it's going along fine, and then all of a sudden something just... Man, that's speaking to me. You ever had that? You're outside the movie now, because now I can relate to what I just saw or what I just heard. Right? Sometimes you can be in conversation with someone and you realize what they just said, God was speaking to you. They might not even know. They don't even know your situation. But you know what you just heard was God getting a word to you. You ever had that? Sometimes a young child say some of the most amazing things. And you know, I needed to hear that. Don't they do that? Sometimes they can speak. They just cut through all of the fluff. And they just get right, and you know I needed to hear what was said. Right? But not only that, I don't know if you've had this, but I've had this happen. I'm not one to have a spectacular happen. But I've had dreams. And in that dream I can tell God was saying, you read it?
Yes.
God was saying, you wake up and it just is clear, mm-hmm. You know? I don't remember a whole lot of the other details, but I knew God had something to say to me.
Amen.
And then and I've had situations where I've seen it happen. You said, it seems like I've heard deja vu. You ever heard that word? It's like, it seems like I've been through this. You know? It's like God prepared me for this.
Amen.
He does it at times when you're sick.
Amen.
You're sick and you just, you know, it seems like nothing is working, and yet God meets you right there when
Amen.
You're sick. Loud and clear, He's speaking. It's like He's screaming. And you say, Lord, I hear. Times you listen to people like me, and a lot of times in certain ways you make me think, and I really caution you about this, because I've heard a lot of people do this. Oh, I sure wish so and so was here. So and so should have heard this. And you need to be careful with that.
Amen.
You always hear something good for somebody else.
Okay.
You need to be listening for yourself.
Yes.
You know, it's really tragic when you always think of something's good for somebody else. Because, I'm telling you, it's amazing thing. I remember how it was one reformer said this. We're so hard on everybody else's sin, but we cuddle our sin, you know. Our sins ain't so bad, but somebody else is just horrible. Terrible. Okay? So, but you want to be able to determine when God is speaking.
Amen.
To me. Because he is. Mm-hmm. He speaks. He speaks all the time. So the question is whether we'll listen. Yeah. Whether we'll listen. And so, these men says, well, we hear you, Lord. Right? Mm-hmm. Let's go see. The Lord has told us something. Let's go see. Not let's go see if it's true. Mm-hmm. Let's go check it out.
Yes.
We know it's true because the Lord said it. So let's go see it.
Amen.
Right? See, God knew who you were dealing with. God ain't looking at it doesn't matter what job you got. If your heart is right.
Amen.
That's what God needs.
Yes.
What God needs. Doesn't matter what your past is. Mm-hmm. All of us got some terrible stuff in our past. Thank God that's not a criteria.
Amen.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank God that's not a criteria. And then finally, I'm sorry, I didn't have my watch. I don't know where we at, but so I'm going to try to wrap up. Is it? obedience. Obedience in faith. So let's look at this last little section. Okay, you got verse 16? Let's look at 16 through 20. And they went with haste. Probably said, isn't this wonderful? They said, let's go. And they didn't hesitate. They went with haste. They got up and went. Now, here's the thing. I hate to keep jumping off this, but it's like I say, well, I know we're on the clock, but hey, these sheep and this stuff is weak.
Right.
You know? No matter what the boss got to say about this kid, the Lord has said something. We got to go check this out. Yes. You got it? So they went with haste. And you know, these sheep, they're going to have to hang with themselves for a little while because we're going to see what the Lord said.
Amen.
And so it said they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Well, that's it. Even though these shepherds were at work, even though they were not high society, okay? Even though they were not religious leaders, they hadn't gone to any religious school, they obeyed God in faith. So I'm saying to you, I'm saying to all of you, faith doesn't require all these other things. Faith simply requires your heart saying yes to the Lord, right? God has spoken to me, faith says yes, Lord, and I obey, right?
Amen.
That's faith. Substance of things hoped for, right? The evidence of things not seen. They went, they found Jesus, by the way. They went, and they found Jesus. They told the story to others, and they returned praising God. You get this? They went, they found, they told, all those verbs right there. You got it? But you got to go. You got to go. You go, you find. Or if you like it another way, if you seek, what? You'll find. Right? This is what Jesus said? You ask, you seek, you knock. If you seek Jesus, you will find him. And once you find him and he saved you, you have to tell somebody.
Yeah.
And whether they believe you or not, there's joy in your heart.
Yeah.
And actually, it gives you joy to tell somebody. You ever look at that? Once he saved you, well, it doesn't matter what they talk about. It just gives you joy just to tell the story. You want people to know. Because you know when you leave, they're going to be talking about you. They're talking about you now.
Amen.
So they're going to be talking about you when you leave anyway. joy. You see? Joy. And so, I want you to think about that. I won't go back to the text, but you, if you remember, it says that some of the folks they told wondered about it. Remember that? They wondered. And that's what's going to happen to you. And if you're a Christian, it's already happened to you. You tell the gospel with somebody, and they wonder, you know. Yeah, I'll think about it. You ever have that? I'll think about that, you know. Or they wonder about you. You know, are you for real? They wonder about it. But then you got folks like Mary. And some people say, well, I'll meditate on you. I mean, they listen to you, and it takes them a while. That's okay. Right? You see, it's not up to you to determine what to do with it. You see? You tell it. You let God handle what the result is. Some people are going to doubt you. They don't want to hear it. They don't think it's real. They don't think you're real. They don't think the gospel is real. That's all right. Tell it anyway. But then some people are going to believe. And that's where you leave the result up to God. Some plant, some water, but what? God gives the increase. You just plant, you just water, and let God handle the result.
Amen.
Right? When Jesus was born, God sent angels to tell the word. Now you think about this. God didn't entrust people. I mean, he did afterwards, but he made sure that the message got from heaven to earth right. And so he said, I'm going to send some angels.
Amen.
Right? He sent angels to say, Jesus is here. And then these angels said that, I'm not just telling you Jesus is here, but I'm telling you I'm bringing you great news, good news of great joy. To you, a child is born. Right? A son has been given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. He'll call his name Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Go tell it. Go tell somebody.
Amen.
He's here. You don't have to wait anymore. Go tell somebody. And the shepherd said, let's go see. And once they went to see, once you know for yourself, then you have to go tell somebody.
Amen.
Go tell somebody. You know, tell them that Jesus is here.
Yes.
Tell them that 2,000 years ago, the real Savior came.
Yes.
Tell them you don't have to keep waiting to be happy. You don't have to keep waiting to be joyful. You don't have to wait till you graduate from college. You don't have to wait till you get your career. You don't have to wait till you make that six figure.
Yes.
You can have joy right now.
Yes.
Now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Go tell it. Tell it in your home.
Amen.
Tell it on your job. Tell it in your school.
Amen.
Go tell adults. Tell children. Tell your parents. Tell your grandparents, right? Tell your friends. Tell your enemy. Tell the wealthy.
Yeah.
Tell the poor.
Yeah.
Tell everybody.
Yeah.
Good news.
Amen.
Good news. Everybody needs. Tell the Jew. Tell the Gentile, everybody. Tell the Muslim.
Yes.
Tell the Mormon.
Yes.
Tell the Jehovah's Witness.
Yes, Lord.
Tell them the good news. Good news. Good news. Good news of great joy. He's here. His name is Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins. His name is Emmanuel. And he's what? God with us. He's born a king. Did you know that? Jesus didn't have to become a king. He was born a king.
Amen.
He was born the King of Kings, right?
Amen.
The King of Glory. He was born that way. Glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Listen to this. I wrote this paragraph for every Christian. For every Christian here, you entered the season of joy in your life the very day and hour that God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, converted you and brought you into the kingdom of God. You don't have to wait for the December season. You entered the season of joy right then. Right then. At that time, Jesus gave you joy that can never be taken away. Nobody can take away that joy that was given to you when you were first saved. verse 6. The season of joy will continue throughout this life and into eternity where joy will never end. So my brother, my sister, let's praise God together for great things he has done and great joy he's given us. Glory to God in the highest. Great is the Lord and great to give praise. But I know everybody here is not a Christian. And I said to you, if you're not a Christian, you can have, this is a tremendous opportunity for you. You can know this joy I talked about. You may have sat here and wondered about it. You may have been amazed, just like these shepherds here. You don't have to just remain amazed. If you will hear it with your heart and believe it in your heart, I'm telling you, this can be good news of great joy for you. Right here, right now, today. It could be yours. I extend that to you, my friend. You don't have to leave here amazed or wondering or pondering.